Welcome to Phoenix Vision. I'm Jess Farmer, and my guest today is my brother, Jordan Jack Turner, who is a health coach and is a pioneer in something called mindful fitness, which we get all into in today's episode. We also spoke a lot about spirituality, Jordan's journey, as well as an epic challenge that Jordan has been embarking on this year. So, great episode. Really enjoyed catching up with my brother. I hope you enjoy. I'm sure you will. Hello, and welcome to Phoenix Vision. I am here with my brother, Jordan Turner, who is a body transformation coach and breathwork facilitator, working with a range of different clients, helping them to achieve their personal best. Also does a lot of health coaching. We've been friends for quite a few years now, having met at a weekly meditation gathering. So, mate, we've not connected in a while, so it's so good to connect, man. Brother, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing?
Mate, I'm doing well. Firstly, thanks for having me on. And please, I'm glad we get to have a little catch up. It's been so long. It's been a long time, but mate, I'm looking forward to it. I'm doing good today. I'm looking forward to whatever presents itself and where we end up chatting about.
Yeah, amen, brother. Amen. It feels like we've already actually started the podcast. We've had a good old chat about a few different things before we started rolling. So.
We got into the depths already, so we're either going to go further down or we're coming back up to come down. We'll see.
Let's do both, man. What is it like, grounded on the earth and reaching to the stars?
Yeah, love it.
So, brother, first off, I'd love to hear like a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your journey. What led you into helping support people in their healing journeys? What led you into doing what you do? So, it'd be great to paint a bit of a picture for the listeners.
Also, for me, where did it start? For me, it's something I've always been passionate about, health and fitness. And I've always loved training and exercise more so than sports itself. So as a kid, I played sports. A typical kid, I played football, and then I fell in love with boxing, and that became my main sport. But even with that, it was the training, it was the lessons that I would learn and how I'd apply them to life, and the discipline or the structure, or learning to challenge myself, learning to overcome obstacles, learning to deal with discomfort. And I was fascinated by this. There's one time I remember reading this book, and it had this free diving technique of breath work. And I did it, and I felt incredible. I had this incredible kind of experience, and I didn't really know what it was. I just had the experience of, wow, that felt good. And for a moment, I was kind of just almost like transported into open up my mind, like into a different world. I was like, okay. And then I just parked that. There was nothing really much more to it. I parked it for a while. And then at about 15, I would say it's the age, and 15 was probably when it was really, I was sure from about the age of 13 that I want to be a personal trainer. I even remember a teacher at school. I said to them that I wanted to be a personal trainer. And they're like, do you not want to aim for something higher, like a doctor or something like that? And I was like, well, what do doctors do? They're like, well, they help heal people. I was like, well, I don't just want to be a personal trainer in the gym in that sense. I want to be able to innovate in the industry and actually bring things that truly use the work to use it in your business, which is about like empowerment and empowering people. And to me, that's where it relates to me, is to empower people to fall in love with their body, with health, with movement, with exercise, and to realize that they can overcome challenges, that they can do more and be more. And then at 15, and then I was focused on this from a young, really, and the people don't know when I say it, 15, I knew that's what I was doing. As soon as I left school, I knew that's what I'd be doing at 16. But my dad passed away when I was 15, and there was this moment when I was with my dad when he passed, and he was on a ventilator, but I knew he passed before they declared that he died. And in that moment, I was like, what was that? So I was intrigued. What was that? What happened there? How did I know? His body was still there. Technically, he still looked like he was breathing, but he no longer was able to take his own conscious breath. And I found that Absolutely fascinating. It set something off with me, and it's seed. It was always in me. So even as a kid, I would love to. I'd read about Buddhist monks, and I'd read about Hinduism, or I'd read about different philosophies, and I'd read about all different things that I'd love. But this did something to that seed that was in me. And then I become very single track minded and focused, and it was focused around boxing at the time and training. But at 16, I already started fitness instructing. And I remember I was only meant to be the apprentice, and I was meant to be like doing cleaning and that kind of stuff. But the manager took me to one side and gave me a badge that said personal trainer. I didn't even know the course at that point. And I was doing these personal training sessions for people. And they were telling me about stuff and things that were going on and different things that were happening. And I soon realized, from about 16, 17, I soon realized it doesn't matter what plan you give someone, what exercises you give someone. It's not, when I say it doesn't matter, of course it matters. I mean in the sense of some people would get results, some people wouldn't get results. And it was more about that. I was like, the mindset. So I must learn more about mindset. So I've become very fascinated about mindset. And for me, fitness was never always about how you looked or if it meant that you were better at the sport. Obviously, that was the byproduct and the ideal. But what really mattered to me was, how did you feel? How did you feel when you exercise? So I'd love to support people and create an experience with someone where they could feel what it felt like to be healthy, and not just healthy body, healthy mind, healthy lifestyle, healthy relationships with other people around them, healthy relationships with themselves. So I just become absolutely fascinated with health. And at the same time, I then started to become, and then we did the, we were in this, doing the meditations. That was one thing. And for our dear brother, a mutual friend of ours, Shion definitely sparked a lot in terms of like giving me experience of breath work. And I was like, okay, I want to now take breath work and just run with it. And I was studying breath work, learning from different people, reading about it, doing my own practice for like 3 hours a day or whatever it was. And throughout this whole process, I was working with a whole range of different clients, all from all walks of life completely. And when I say all walks of life, I really mean that, all different ages, all different demographics, all different places and wants and needs. And I loved it. And I loved seeing people that told me that they hated exercise, or they hated movement, or they didn't feel good, or didn't like that body. And I loved seeing that change and seeing that there was a way. And it led me on the path of discovery. And through that, I realized that I also needed to embody what I was sharing. I didn't want to share from a place of whatever, and I wanted to share from a place of, I've go into the depths of this as much as I can, and let me share it from first-hand experience as well as the knowledge that I'm gathering. So that's kind of what's got me to this point where I'm at now.
That's beautiful. Really beautiful. I love that so much. And I remember a few years ago, I think Shian said, I remember him saying, like, oh, I've got this fun feeling, Jordan, like something to do with breath, and like you, it's to do with breath, so it could be worth looking at some breath work. And then I saw you like a year later, you'd gone so deep into the breath, and you know, you're teaching classes and you're doing all this stuff. I was like, wow, that's freaking rad. And like, but you really went into it. Like, I remember you, what were you saying? You were talking, just the way you were articulating and talking about the breath and feeling the intake and outtake and the philosophical and metaphysical kind of correlations to that. I remember you talked about, I was like, wow, this guy's like level of insight, he's gone so deep on it and really committed to it. And like, it's awesome to see you probably about 4 years later, just like really using it to like help like loads of people. So yeah, like, dude, like I'd love to just ask you a little bit about the breath. What is the breath, and what does the air element in general mean to you? What can you share on it?
Lovely question. So first of all, when people hear breath work, they're like, what's breath work? What is that? Some people know exactly what it is, or they think they know what it is. And how, even though the depth I've gone into it, the more depth I've gone into it, I realize I don't know what it is. As in, I mean, it opens up more and more and more, but I'm really saying. But what is breathwork? Well, breathwork's anytime you choose to take conscious control of your breathing. So when we come into this life, we took our first breath. And when we leave this body, we're going to take our last breath. All right? But breathwork is when you choose to take conscious control. So it's the one thing that we can do consciously, and we do it unconsciously. So it's basically deciding to be in the driver's seat rather than in the passenger seat. And there's some very practical, mechanical ways of breathing in a particular way that will support your mechanism. So, for example, whether that supports your immunity, whether that supports your nervous system, whether that supports shifting the chemistry within your body, changing the brainwave states. There's that side of the breath. But what we must remember is the breath is also, in terms of the element of air, we must go, well, we can go a little while without food, the element of earth, right? We can go a little while without water, not too long, but a little while without water. When the heat starts going in our body, we haven't got long at all. So the fire comes here. However, we can't go long at all without our breath. Right. So the breath is so important. It's the foundation of health. And the way we breathe is not separate from the way that we think, the way that we feel, and the way that we move. What do I mean by that? Start running right now. Your breathing pattern will change. Hunch over and bring your shoulders forward. Your breathing pattern will change. Start thinking erratic thoughts. Your breathing pattern will change. All right, calm down the mind, settle the mind, sit nice and still, your breathing pattern will change. They are absolutely interlinked. There is no separation of them at all. And this is where it becomes this thing that we can all do. They're simple. You could do anywhere, any place, any time. There's thousands and thousands of different techniques. And this is what I mean by sometimes people think they know what it is because they had one breathwork experience and that's what it was. So there's that, and it's also a beautiful tool that allows us to reach altered states of consciousness, altered states, so we can enter into these different patterns within us, and we can also drop down into them consciously, so we can enter into the sleep state, and sleep state in those inverted commas, in the sense of when you're sleeping at night, you can bring yourself what that is, those delta brainwaves, but you can do it consciously through the breath, for example, and you can have these incredible journeys with the breath. And there's so much, and there's such a depth to the breath. And to me, I'm very passionate about, there's people doing great work in the breathwork field, doing all kinds of things. It's becoming so popular. For me, I'm passionate about helping people develop their relationship with the breath itself. So yes, there's many techniques that I know and a few techniques that I share and serve. However, what I love to do more than that is the relationship someone builds with their own breath, so now they can have their own experience, because the breath actually is intelligent. People don't realize that the breath has its own intelligence. It is intelligent. It for example, is involved in many even functions within the body, essential functions. I think it's involved in about 72 functions in total. I think it's about 72-74. Some of those are non-physical functions. However, about seven of those are absolutely vital. So, for example, there is involved in the metabolizing certain things. It is involved in simple things, like even this isn't essential, this is non-essential, but for something like yawning or blinking your eye, the breath is needed, the air is needed in these moments. So it has its own intelligence, it has its own information, it has its own subtlety. And being present with the breath, it just allows so much. It allows you to become in charge of your nervous system, to be able to calm yourself down, settle, to be able to heighten yourself up, to be able to be more active, to be more alert, to be more peaceful. So there's so many things. For example, just change the amount of breaths you have per minute. If you slow them down, you will slow down the force. You'll bring the nervous system into rest and renew. Just by simply changing the speed of the breath. So we can change the speed of the breath. We can change the rhythm of the breath. We can change the volume of the breath. So how an inhale, what is an inhale? You inhale an inspiration, right? So inspiration. So as you inhale, you're inhaling the inspiration. I'll give an example. If someone feels depressed or down or whatever it is, And I know this from my own experience of not really feeling like lack of energy, don't want to be here. I'm taking in very little air and I'm breathing out a lot. Little tiny breaths, big sighs, for example. We've all been there where we're like, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a sigh, but I'm saying when we're sighing a lot, taking a little breath in, we're lacking inspiration, we're lacking desire for life. And then our exhalation is like our ability to just let go. If we're not letting go of the exhale, so for example, we're trying to hold on to the breath because we're scared of letting go. So we're now taking short, shallow breaths, which creates a fear. In other words, we also call this anxiety. I'm not saying it's the only root of it. Remember that the mind, the breath, and the body are absolutely interconnected. There's many roots of why depression and anxiety. However, the breath work is a fantastic tool within those states. And it's a fantastic tool to bring someone into a much more mindful, conscious, present way of living. And for me, it's the foundation of health. And if you can bring the breath and then alongside the other work, you can get into some real great depths and some wonderful experiences. And people sometimes are frightened of it or whatever it is, because they think they're going to have this experience and whatever. There's different ones. There's more mild, subtle experiences that just make very subtle changes within the body. And then there are, for those who want deep dives, there's experiences you can have that are deep journeys. There are deep journeys that you go into and you have these varied experiences.
Yeah, lovely, man. It puts me in mind of when I've done different kinds of breath work in the past, and I remember a couple of times being able to actually access such a deep state of rest. It sends you so deep into that rest and digest parasympathetic system that I remember sitting there just like completely at peace, and I was like almost feeling the healing happening. Even though I was in that state for like, I don't know, not that long, or maybe I was dropped in for like 10, 15 seconds. In that 10, 15 seconds, I could feel my body resetting. I could feel all sorts of like, wow, things happening. I was like, this is really powerful. And yeah, it's chief regulator of the whole system is, and to think that, you know, it's a tool that we can have anytime, any place. Remembering to use this wonderful tool that we have for our benefit, because you know, like you say, I mean, like certain breathing patterns can create anxiety or other emotional states, and other breathing patterns can calm that down. So you know, being aware of our breath can be such a good way to maintain levels of health through regulating our system.
100%. And what you're saying about like, it's a great one for reducing inflammation in the body, for example. It's a great one. Sometimes I've used the breath as a painkiller when I've been in discomfort about things. You use the breath, you can really support, and you can feel like you can go into it and you can start to physically relax. And it also helps build body awareness. You can notice different muscle groups and where's tension. It really helps, especially with certain stretches or certain movements. And also there's a time when I had an allergic reaction and basically I was in hospital, had this big allergic reaction. They were coming over, going to give me one of those, you know, like whatever they, I don't know what they give. Is it like adrenaline or something? I could be wrong with what they were going to give me, whatever. They were about to go get a defibrillator because there wasn't one in there, because I was going, basically my skin went completely red. My oxygen levels were dropping right down and I was coming in and out of consciousness. I was having this experience. And as I was coming in and out, I felt myself, this experience was happening. I was like, this space is familiar. I've been here before when I've done certain, it was an intense version of something I've experienced. So I started doing breath work, started doing a particular technique. And at first they were saying, don't panic, relax, whatever. I could start to hear again. I couldn't hear at the time. And I started doing the breath work and all of a sudden my blood oxygen started going back up. I started coming back around. Everything, because my heart rate was dropping and then it was shooting right up. It was dropping, shooting right up. I was having this intense allergic reaction. My lips were going blue. And then I started coming back round normal. And then it started getting uncomfortable, because at first it was quite, even though I was in and out space, then it was uncomfortable. It was very itchy, but I kept with the breath work. And then I come back round from the breath work without having to have any other intervention. And I then ended up talking to the doctor for about an hour and a half because they were fascinated by what happened. And they're making notes, which was incredible. And that's literally how powerful the breath is. Like, I'm not suggesting that we have allergic reactions and you do breath work experience, but I'm showing that in itself shows how it can do. People don't realize that. They can easily dismiss it. Oh, it's just breath work. It's something I'm doing all the time. But yeah, it is something you're doing all the time. But it's easy to miss how important that is.
Damn, that's the most badass thing I've heard this year. Yeah, man. That's
it's like, a cool story, right? I actually like it. I'm like,
sorry, man. Yeah.
In hindsight, I'm like, I'm pleased it happened. It's like
damn, that is a fantastic advocate for doing breath work. I mean, what I love most about that story though is that you recognize that familiar state. And it kicked in something for you because you'd practiced it and gone into that so much and you'd done the work to really get into that state on a regular basis. And you know, that familiar state could well have saved your life potentially, you know, but it's just the way, what's most impressive for me is the way you just kicked into gear. It's just like, nah, I need to do the thing that my body makes me feel, that my body knows is good. And like, especially as like, you may not have been so compos mentis or able to, you know, make regular thought or take regular action, but no, something really deep and intrinsic just kicked in, bam, do this. And your body just kind of, well, I presume that your body just took over and went into that.
And you get it. Exactly what you're saying. It's not like, it's not a thought like now where I'm going, okay, kick in. There's a few times it's happened. There's one time when I had hypothermia and the same thing happened. So I had hypothermia. I was swimming in the sea, freezing cold. I was loving my cold swims, but I pushed it way to the extreme. Because I pushed it to the extreme, when I was in the water, I didn't realize how long I was in there for. I come out and then I was feeling this amazing euphoria. I was feeling so great. I looked at the sand. Bear in mind, it's the winter and it's freezing cold. I looked at the sand, it looked like it was hot and warm. I was like, oh, that sand looks so good. I'm just going to lay down in that sand. That looks so nice. And I go to lay down and then something kicked in. And it wasn't the thought that the mind that's talking to you right now. It was like this part of me that was just saying, get up, you're having hypothermia.
Yeah.
Get up, don't lay there. So, and I don't really want to listen. The normal, I'm like, okay. And I start getting up, warming myself up, and I managed, I did, luckily, I was safe and it was okay in the end. It was a bit painful coming back round, but I was okay. I didn't push. It wasn't such an extreme hypothermia, but it was the same thing. And then I also, recently I saw, I can't remember where I saw it, but it was one of, I forgot the lady's name, but she's an actress that was one of the characters in Avatar 2. So she was playing one of the characters. And for Avatar 2, it was the Way of Water. So they had to do these breath holds. And she held her breath for something like 7 minutes or something like this. But when she said she held her breath for 7 minutes, she said she felt like she died. And I can't speak on her behalf or what her experience was. I don't know. But when she said that, I completely understood that because a certain time I was practicing a certain free diving technique and I'd do breath holds for over 5 minutes, sometimes 6 minutes. I've never actually done 7 minutes. I think just shy of 7 minutes myself. But in those experiences, those long-winded breath holds, there'll be moments when you think, oh, no, I've pushed it too far, I'm gone. Because you would experience this ecstasy almost feeling, and it's a familiar feeling that I'm aware of. I'm like, okay, and I'm gone. And you'd lose touch with yourself, and then you'd go, oh, no, come back. And you'd after a while, because you get used to it, you'd end up coming back. And then because you'd say, okay, it must not be completely gone. And you learn to keep a thread between the two spaces. So through that, I was able to be aware of where I was at, even though I was out of control. I lost the control of the system in terms of whether it was the allergic reaction or the hypothermia or the prolonged breath holds. But I was aware of the space that I was in because I've been there. It's a familiar space that you can enter. And it's not, I don't want that to scare people and be like, oh, that's what breathwork is. That's pushing it to certain extremes that you don't need to do. But because I just was fascinated by that. And there was even a period of time where I used to do conscious pass outs. When I say conscious pass outs, I basically just made myself pass out, right? There was a method, a little bit of a method to the madness, a way of doing it a bit safer. Don't worry, anyone, if the family's listening, I'm not doing them anymore. But I had a period where I was doing it. And after a while, you can linger in that space. It's not you pass out, you come back round. You can linger between the two. And then I soon realized you don't need to pass out. You don't do anything extreme. You can do it in a very safe, easy, sensible, subtle way in a more relaxed practice that you don't need to put that strain on your body, because it is a strain on the body. And you can potentially do those sort of things. It's not healthy for the system. And I don't recommend anyone doing it. And I realized that's actually quite silly. And it was when I wasn't as aware and didn't know as much. It's not, there's no need to do that. There's much simpler, subtle, gentle, grateful for doing it, because wow, like what I was able to learn from that and touching was amazing. And I feel it allows me to then, when I'm serving it for other people and having experiences, even whether it's a subtle, mild experience, very gentle, or if it is a little bit more on the edge, not necessarily. I personally would not facilitate happily anything that's extreme, because even though I've gone there, and I know that's a bit hypocritical, but I don't think it's safe. I don't want someone else to, I've had my slaps in the face to tell me to stop that, so I wouldn't suggest that for other people. But I'm pleased that I went over that edge to know the barrier of where is a nice space to be in. But I feel like it allows me to understand then more what people are going through and to support them through any challenges or hiccups that happen from in their journeys for those that are taking deeper dives.
That's amazing, mate. You're a man after my own heart, man. Like I love just putting yourself in extreme situations to test your mettle. And it's just like, you know, this is where living is like when you're on the edge. Yeah, there's a saying like, if you're not living on the edge, you're taking up too much space. And obviously, you know, gentle to start with, but at the same time, pushing yourself at times and, you know, learning what it was to be at the extreme was able to give you the insight to not be gung-ho and be very much more conscious of when working with others, I imagine. And yeah, like what's the next near death experience story you got where your body's kicked in due to automatic training? But you got three of them. That's three more than most people. Like, it's so cool.
I don't think I'm gonna shy away from them if they can be avoided. If they're presented to me, well, we'll take it as we need to. Two of them were solely my fault, but the third one they'll take responsibility for. Right. So, but like you're saying about this idea of living on the edge, and it's not that I'm necessarily a thrill seeker or in this sense, some people are, and that's wonderful. And it's beautiful experience life how you want in a way. And if someone doesn't want that, some people don't want the thrills, and that's beautiful too. I certainly feel as I've matured, much more called to just more balance. And making sure things are in balance and the space that they're coming from, rather than having to go extreme. However, I do like to see the limits, because ultimately they're much further than we think they are. Like these limits that we put on ourselves, these checkpoints, we think, oh, I'm only able to do that. It's not true. The possibilities are open and out there. What can happen within a human being is never fails to blow my mind. And I don't mean, oh, it's me as a living example of that. I try my best. But I'm on about things I see on a day-to-day basis, certain things people are doing. It's just, wow. If you can do that, wow. We're all human. So when we see these things, and yeah, we have tendencies and certain strengths towards different things. However, what's possible when you from a particular space never fails to blow my mind. Never fails to blow my mind.
Well, the Navy SEALs say that when you think that you're ready to drop and that you've got nothing left at all, there's still at least 40% in the tank. You can still go on. And like the mind is a limiting factor, because the body is capable of so much more than the mind believes is possible. So much of it. And I'd love to get into your element challenge in a little while.
Sure.
That's about in a bit. Because you know, you're not a stranger to this kind of training, which we'll get into. But yeah, like the mind is often the limiting factor. So yes, physically training the body, but also is very much training the mind and believing that it's possible. I know with endurance events that I used to do, you know, each time I would achieve something, I would get a new scope of a belief of what would be possible next. And then that would caused me to go, oh, what next? Could I do this? And then, you know, as your belief builds and your it's the belief that you can go through, as well as the mental fortitude that it takes to actually go through something like that and be in the extreme. And to what was coming up when you're talking about the extremes and balance is that I think, you know, we can be in extremes and that's fine, but it's when we exist in the extremes for too long. I don't think we can stay in the extreme for a long period of time and it's be sustainable at all. It's okay to visit there and go into that place. But as long as we're coming back to the center, then it's sustainable. And more time spent at the center in that balanced place, in terms of like looking after ourselves, looking after our sleep, our nutrition, our fitness, doing the things to maintain balance, rest within ourselves, energy, vibrancy, vitality. These periods of really focusing on balance enable us to spend longer in those periods of extremes. Whereas if we're always in the extreme, we'll just break down.
100%. I was speaking to these well-known, I think it's like five times world champion boxer, Roy Jones Jr. And he was saying he learned boxing from studying roosters, so game roosters that would fight each other, right? So he learned from nature. But he learned that the one that was the top of the pecking order, so that would win the most fights or whatever, was also the one that was most active in the day, but rested the earliest. So he got more rest than all the other chickens and was more active than all the other, not sorry, the roosters. So he got more active than all the other roosters, but would rest more than all the other roosters. And I don't know if that, I'm sure that checks out. I don't know if it is. I haven't looked at myself, but isn't that fascinating? And like we were saying with balance, it's that it's, yeah, you can push certain edges, but you can bring the balance back in different ways than you think. And it's also the space in which you, the intention with you, does it come from? Does it come from, people often ask that, say it was like a run show, what are you running away from? Or what is it you're running towards something? It's like, if you're running with it, use this term now, what do I mean? If you're running with something, then yeah, it's already balanced in nature because it's coming from that place, coming from your heart. That's the balance keeper. If it's in your heart and it's there, then you're balanced. You're okay. So if it's coming from because you think you're lack and you're trying to prove something, this is when you get injured. I tore my chest. And when I tore my chest, because I was trying to prove something on the bench press, silly. I saw it. As soon as I finished, I had the discomfort. I sat with it, did some breathwork on it. I saw the exact mindset I was in when doing that. It would come from pure place, proving something to myself. That it was pride that injured me, not extreme, not a lift in an extreme way. It was the pride. And it's important to understand that relationship between us. Not me saying it's not a very physical injury. Of course it is. It's a very physical thing that happened. However, that physical thing is also related to the emotional state that I was in at the time, the mindset that I was in at the time, right? And something much deeper. It's not just as simple as the physical thing. Now, is there mechanical things that I need to do to support it? Yes. But if I can do that alongside the other work, it can heal. I can heal much quicker with certain things. And it's not that certain interventions might be needed for particular things. However, if you can bring those things together, you can at least release and you can avoid other things happening potentially in the future of those things. And you start to notice it and you start to notice the interlink. Sometimes it's not that and it's because of whatever, but it's important to understand that there's always an interlink. Like I was talking about with the breath and the body and the mind, with everything. If you notice that, and it's not about asking to believe what I'm saying, study it for yourself, and you cannot show that it's separate. You cannot separate it in any way. You can try to, because you only look in one area, right? It's like me pretending you've only got half a face because I only look at half your face, right? But you don't, right? If you look into the side, oh, Jess only got half a face because you didn't wait for him to turn back round. If you watch closely, you'll realize it's always interlinked. So I find it really important in terms of balance and in terms of that. And if you know if it's out of balance, just be conscious of it, be aware, so you know how to bring it back to balance at least.
It feels like a really nice place to switch gears a little bit and ask you a little bit about mindful fitness, because it feels like we're like really much touching on it already with talking about these concepts of balance and, you know, this really insightful realization about what created the injury. Because like so many injuries, as well as health challenges, you know, their origin is somewhere within the psychology, through our thoughts, our behaviors, our temperaments, the way we're moving through life, the way we're seeing ourselves, the way we're perceiving the world. I'd love to just hear like a little bit about mindful fitness, this concept that you've been birthing. What's it all about, brother?
When I look back, it's always been mindful fitness. But as it's developed, I'm like, I'm so passionate about mindful fitness. Like, this is the most, it's got three pillars. So mindful fitness to me has three pillars: body, breath, mind, right? There's a fourth pillar, but body, breath, mind, three pillars. And mindful fitness is technically any form of fitness can become mindful. Any form of training, any form of exercise can be mindful. You could just be having swimming lessons and you can make them mindful. There's so much going on. You can be going for a run. You could be in the gym. You can make it mindful. But to me, mindful fitness is about working in while also working out. Mm-hmm. Actually realizing the interconnected relationship, like we were previously talking about, with everything that we're doing. And it's about getting the most bang for your buck. And I don't mean that as some sort of thing to take away from what it is. I just mean you get the most value there. You invest in this time doing something that, okay, changing shape and mold in your body, for example. Yes, it's useful and it's fantastic. But are you feeling better? If you're feeling better, great, keep going. Are you aware of why? And you know why. And it just allows you to be the boss of your own life, the CEO. You become the conscious, to witness, the observer. You're more present. It translates. Mindful fitness means whatever you do on the mat, in the gym, or on the road, or whatever it is that you're doing, mindful fitness, it translates beyond that into your life. Your life becomes more mindful. You start living in this way where you choose to, you take charge of your life. You become... you've set that seed in my head, that word in my head, which is empowered. You become empowered to make your own decisions. This is all about what was it you say? Is the slogan? Is it the turning pain into empowerment? Was it for you? I'm just turning back because it was turning pain into empowerment, right?
Yeah. So Phoenix slogan is transforming pain into empowerment.
Transforming pain to empowerment. And since hearing that, I was like, wow, that's a beautiful slogan. And then the empowerment words in my head. But yeah, that's it. In a way, it turns your workout into something that is empowering. So you're inspired by it. So you're falling in love with it. You're enjoying it. You're having this experience where you're aware of the body. You're aware of what's going on. You're able to choose your own story, create it in a way that which best serves you, not only in the gym but in life, not only in your mat but in life. So it has many factors, many ways. People are like, what does that look like? Well, that obviously look like many things. It can look like classes, it can look like single sessions, it can look like all kinds of it can look, two people can be doing the same workout and you look like you're doing the same workout to someone else, but yours is mindful. You're having a deeper experience, you're getting more out of it. Not to compare yourself to the other person, like that's a problem. No, ultimately things will shift anyway, but they will shift unconsciously rather than consciously. So sometimes they're shifting in certain directions that may not be the direction in which it best serves you. So mindful fitness is also about going beyond what we like and dislike and into what's best for us. Mm-hmm. And that's the beautiful thing about it. You're able to move in a way which is best. And for me, I'm big on being a bit more of a balance keeper and building this idea of conscious coaches. So coaches that are aware of the interconnectedness of things that are happening and aware of people have different needs and wants. For example, some of my favorite clients I work with are people that first come to me telling me that they hate exercise, not something that they enjoy. that's my favorite type of client, for example, or someone is like, this sounds, or they're turned off by the word mind and fitness and they've got their arms crossed, like, this sounds a bit off for me. I love working with that because I love to make it practical. I love to make it accessible, and accessibility is a big thing that I'm keen on. And I don't just mean accessible in a way someone's able to use a session, but accessible in terms of relatable to anyone, no matter where you're at life, whatever it is that you're trying to do, is something that I'm truly passionate that I feel will serve everyone.
Yeah, that's beautiful, man. I love this phrase, like the balance keeper. This is powerful title. Yeah. This is like just as you're speaking, this is like such a lovely reminder for myself of like with training, because it's just like, okay, it's like, am I as mindful as I could be when I train? Sometimes, yes, it's pretty on point. Other times, it's like, maybe not. Maybe I'm a little bit distracted. I'm over here. I'm over there with the mind, and maybe it's sometimes this thing of like going through the motions a little bit. But like, this is like a really nice reminder that actually, like, what are we actually doing when we're training? So many things are happening. You know, we're moving energy through the body. We're enhancing how we feel. We're making the body more stable structurally, which then has a knock-on effect on the mind, because they're the same thing. We have a strong and stable body. This constitutes to a strong and stable mind. You know, we're pumping the body. We're like, all of these things are happening, right? And it's just like, damn, like, how can I not be mindful when I train? Like, you know, this is such a great reminder. And then, you know, I go into the gym, and yeah, it's not to judge, but like you go to the gym and you see kind of someone doing a set and then they're on their phone in between the set and kind of not really engaged, that they're not really there, kind of thing. And again, it's not to judge, but I always think when I look at the guys like kind of in that space, I'm like, oh God, you guys could be getting so much more out of your workout. But then also the reflection is that, am I always 100% in the workout? The answer is like, not so much. No, I am a lot of the time, but actually this podcast is going to be really kind of fueling me to really be in that space, which I guess is the gift and signature vibration that you give to others.
And for anyone listening, it's not about perfection. It's not about being, I'm always, every single second thing is I'm mindful. No, it's not. It's not called perfect fitness. It's called mindful fitness. This is mindful. And let's be mindful when we're not mindful. I got distracted here, or that's where I'm, whatever, and that's where I'm bored off here in this direction. That's okay. That's fine. That's part of it. We're not trying to be perfect and, oh, I'm so great and look, I'm mindful, and that person's just fitness and I'm mindful fitness. It's not what it is. It's far from that. It's more about this thing where we just realize that, wow, we have this experience and we can, and it's okay to notice someone that someone's on the phone. It's like, wow, the person on the phone right now, done. And then you're noticing what you're feeling and what's going on there, and you're noticing what's around you, noticing what's happening within the body, what's happening to the body. You're noticing what your body's saying to you, and then you're noticing what you're saying to your body. You're noticing this interconnected relationship with your surroundings. And so much can be happening. And you also could just, you can, once it becomes mindful, you also learn certain things. Like, it could be something simple, like a press up. Press up requires you to go through some resistance, and you feel some resistance. And as you get certain level of resistance, you will no longer be able to do the press up. Well, being mindful through that experience, you start to realize, okay, it teaches you, the press up itself, a simple basic exercise, almost everyone knows what it is. That in itself becomes a tool that teaches you in your own life how to overcome resistance. Mm. Wow. Pretty cool that. What that, because you're mindful of it, because you're mindful of where your mind goes when you're confronted with it going, oh, I can't do anymore. But you had three more. So your mind's a liar. That voice, is it real? Is it true? That voice you've been listening to the whole time. Didn't that voice tell you like not to even come to the gym, but you turn up? Now you're mindful of it. You're mindful of that voice that says, oh, don't bother. You're mindful of that voice saying, oh, you can't do that. You're mindful of the voice that says you don't like exercise. How about when you're mindful, you change it from, okay, you don't need to lie to yourself. It's not about lying to yourself. You don't change it from I don't like exercise. You change it from maybe something from I don't like it to I'm learning to like exercise. How about that? How about when that voice comes up and says, you can't do two more reps? You just say to it, not necessarily. You don't say yes or no. You say not necessarily. There's a great technique that I love using with people, and it's that. And the technique is as simple as that. It's the technique of not necessarily. Right? And you just, every time it says, not necessarily. I can't do, not necessarily. You don't say no. You just say, not necessarily. Let's see. So let's say it says, oh, I can only run one kilometer. I can't run two. Not necessarily. Let's see. So you start running. Maybe you get to one and you end up at 1.5. Maybe the voice was right and you couldn't quite get to the 1 kilometer that day. That's fine, but be aware of it. Watch it. Not necessarily. It's just, I repeat that because it's super simple and it's easy to be like, oh, that's ridiculous, but a very powerful tool when used in the right way. When you quite literally just interrupt the voice by just saying, not necessarily. Let's see.
I love that, man. That's because it opens up the intrigue. It opens up the potential and the possibility. Whereas like saying like, oh no, I can't do that, it very much closes down that possibility. And you know, I love the concept that you shared earlier about how it expands out into your greater existence, your greater life. You know, I learned that I can overcome the press up here. I can overcome resistance in life. You know, how many times in life do we tell ourselves like, no, we can't do that, or we put the limitations on? But then rather than saying like, no, I can't do that, not necessarily. Oh, and then before you say it, you know, you're doing things in life that may be scary when you're in it, but doing it and it may be scary, you know, is and moving through it often is conducive with our growth. Whereas like not doing it at all will kind of, you know, you'll never know whether you would have gone for that or not. So this, like, not necessarily, I think I might pinch that one, mate.
Yeah, please do. Please pinch it.
It's good. Oh, brother, yeah, that's it's so rad. Now I want to learn more about this, because I think this merging of spirituality and moving more into mindful concepts is so much the way forward. You know, because like it is like so much of it is the psychology, and because it's the mind that drives the body and the body that drives the mind. So, you know, listening to both is important, and you know. So I think this more mindful approach and moving more into spiritual concepts and bringing those in to the arenas of training is going to be so important. Like, you know, very much riding the wave of the change that's happening at the moment globally. You know, we're in the middle of a really exciting time. You know, we've seen in the last 5 years, especially. I mean, I've definitely seen the last 5 years, things have been popping. So call it what you want: global consciousness shift, mass awakening, dot dot dot. Many different names for it, but you know, it's not. Don't need to put a label on it. Something cool is happening in the collective. So you know, what is your feeling around kind of some of the shifts that are happening in terms of people's mindsets and this so-called global consciousness shift? Like, what in your observation or your opinion is kind of happening on this global scale?
I think that there's many areas we could take this to. I could answer in different ways. I'm a simple man. I like to answer things simple ways. And I think simply it's created people to look further into themselves and ask more questions. And that's powerful. That's the start of consciousness. That's becoming more conscious. Look at yourself, face yourself, and expose certain parts of yourself being exposed, as in like you can no longer operate that way. The way things operate has changed. More drastic changes. These are the arena here with certain facing certain adversities, certain things that are now unfamiliar. It's no longer you can't act from your conditioning because it's new. It's different. So you start asking more questions. And one of the things I've noticed in terms of around health, and a prime example, I've noticed this in so many subtle ways and so many ways, but an example of what I noticed is kind of, when was it? This was right when we were there, was experiencing within the pandemic and people were locked in and this kind of thing. And I had a call from one of the clients I've been working with, and the whole family called me up. The whole family. I work with like a few of them in the family, but the whole family were on this video call when I answered. I thought it was quite well. Hey, how's everyone doing? Whatever, what's going on? I was thinking, what's going on? I've had video call with them individually. I think, what's happening? And they said, we're sorry, Jordan. And I was like, what? And I was thinking, they've never done anything to be sorry for. Like, I have a lovely relationship with them. Great. Like, what do you, and I'm confused. I'm saying, what do you mean sorry? Sorry for what? Sorry, I realized that I did health as a bit of a luxury thing. Like a trend view is a bit of a luxury thing. It was almost superficial. But I didn't realize how much of what we did, how important it was. Now that things have been taken away from me, I realize how important this is. Wow. And I'm not saying it's to try and, oh, look how great I did. It's nothing to do with it. And the truth is, I didn't really do anything. They did it all themselves. But what it was is through the mindful approaches, through the consciousness work, when the persona was forced into a completely different way, they could start to recognize deeper into the self. It can no longer live in this completely mindful use words, because it can be taken out of context, and there's so many people have so many they're completely the a way that I don't intend, but moving out of the sleepy state, this state of, and this is the thing I see changing, it's moving out of the sleepy state. So you're making a choice, right? Right now it's, because it will always happen to you. And it's, even if we bring it back to the mindful fitness, for example, like even if you don't decide to do mindful fitness, right, your fitness journey will end up having to be more mindful at some point, right? In some way, you'll be asked to face a certain question. Right. Maybe you reach a certain age, and how you used to train before, you feel like you can't for some reason. Not that I think age is definitely, I've got some 70-year-olds that train incredibly well, but you get my point. Or maybe you get a certain injury, like you break your ankle. You've got to reassess. You've got to look at it. So but my question is always, why wait? Why wait? Why wait to be more conscious? Why wait to be more mindful? Because there's such a, it's so worth it. It is so worth it. It's a bit of a challenge at first, but it is so worth it. No need to wait. If you want to wait, I respect that. But why wait? And so what's happening at the moment? There's less waiting. For example, so many more people are interested in mindful. When I say mindful fitness, before people used to laugh. When I used to say breath work, people thought, what the hell is that? It's boo-boo. People are much more open and understanding that these are vital tools to support us in many ways, because we're faced with those challenges and because it's there, it's right in front of our eyes, it can no longer be ignored. Whereas maybe previously it was easier to ignore.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Wow.
I said simple, didn't I? That wasn't that simple. So, but
oh, man, that
I ended up going on a bit.
Beautiful, mate. It's beautiful. No, thank you. And you know, there's a saying that pain quickens consciousness, and you know we've gone through this like mass, really interesting, completely out of the box, abnormal situation, which has really put a real big pattern interrupt for the entire global humanity, and you know people are realizing a lot of things. You know, it's been a health orientated crisis, so it's a good thing that people are now a lot more health conscious. And you know, I think a world that's a lot more health conscious and working on these things is going to be a healthier world, because you know, well, obviously, but like I mean that in terms of like, because the body and mind are connected. You know, healthy people make healthy, they create healthy thoughts, which create healthy words, healthy actions, which creates more health in the world, which is what we need to ultimately save the planet. Because, you know, things are in a pretty difficult spot at the moment. So it requires healthy people to come up with different solutions that are going to create the shift that we need within this world, so that, you know, we can move away from the damage that we're doing to the world. And I think, you know, like, people changing their how they're thinking about themselves, how they're people working on themselves, is going to be such a conducive, vital route for this, us being able to change our ways and help the planet ultimately.
Beautiful.
I want to ask you, mate, about you've done like a phenomenal challenge recently, relating to the elements. You were talking to me a little bit about it earlier, and it sounded like this really full blown, very deep, amazing experience. Like, I'd really love to unpack that a little bit, because I had a surface level inclination that you'd done something like this, because I saw like one post ages ago. But like, I didn't realize the full scale of what you were doing until, you know, you were sharing with me before this call. So, bro, what was the five element challenge, or is there an element still going on?
Look, it was the four elements challenge we did, but there is five elements, and there is a fifth element that will be coming. So the four elements challenge was, it came from a point of meditation. I felt this idea of doing this challenge around the elements, something I was thinking for ages to do. And for a series of events, I met a friend of mine someone who's become a great friend of mine and a brother of mine. And he had a running shoe company. It's called Hilo. It's fantastic. And his slogan was also about being athlete for the planet, and which I loved. I thought that was beautiful. Like, what a great thing to say. And they have these completely sustainable shoes that are basically showing nature can perform. So he had this mission to show nature can perform. And obviously, it was like a running company. So I was like, how about we make it a run? Because I wanted it to be I wanted the first four elements to be an active prayer, and the fifth one to be the opposite, to be something that's complete stillness. So we thought we'd do an active prayer for each element. So we do a challenge. So we decided on we're doing 50 kilometers a day. So it's just over a marathon a day. So like a marathon is what, 42, is it 42 kilometers or something like that? Or is it 42 or 44? I think, 42 kilometers. So we did 50 kilometers a day. So we did a little bit more than a marathon a day for 4 days. But each one was dedicated to an element. So the first day was dedicated to air. So it was the inspiration behind it. It was about connecting to the breath, giving offerings to the air. We did it in Dartmoor. There was mist in the air. It was an incredible experience. And we purposely didn't plan the route. We wanted it to be led the whole journey. So we went to camp. We did it in a camper van. We went to camp at one spot, and we got chucked off that spot. And by the lady who chucked us off, we asked her, there's a funny story behind that, but we asked her where we could potentially go. And she led us to this spot. The spot she led us to was amazing. And that was the route of the run. It became the spot where we did the run. So that was fantastic. And the message behind that day was, the way knows the way, and there's always a way. The way knows the way, and there's always a way. Yeah. And that was the big message of that. That was when I was running in that and in the challenge. And this is what I love about it. The challenge of bringing beautiful lessons. And it was like, it was a ceremony in itself. Then the second day was the water element. So the second fuel source, we were by the sea, we were at the Jurassic Coast. It was incredible. And it was more about our emotions, the creativity behind it, the flow. So we're trying to flow much more subtle, settle in. And in that particular day, there was lots that were coming up. Lots of things were coming up with me, within Michael, I was doing it with Andy that was on the bike, and we had a great friend of mine, Jamie, that was also filming and stuff. And it was wonderful. We got some stuff that was personal to them, so I won't share, but lots were coming up in this. And we even had a little bit of rain in the morning. It was like the elements were working with us. It was incredible. And the message of that day was about the power in doing something beyond yourself. Because by the second day, I'm not going to lie, I was but I'm not a big runner. I wasn't a big runner beforehand. We only had 4 months to train for it as well. So I had 4 months to train for something that was like pretty intense, right? So by the second day, I was like, what am I doing? Like, I don't know if I can be bothered to do this. And Andy, who was on the bike, was saying that there's a coffee shop that he really wanted to go to. And there was a bit of a story around the coffee shop, but there was a coffee shop that he really wanted to go to. And me and Michael said, well, what time does it shut? And he told us whatever. And Michael looked at his watch and was like, if we carry on at this pace, we're not going to get him to the coffee shop in time. And he's been supporting us on the bike, like helping us out. And I was like, do you know what? We've got to do this for Andy. Mm-hmm. And when I said do this for Andy, yes, it was very much about him. We were doing it for him, but that represented like doing it for your loved ones, doing it for the people you care about, your friends, your family, doing it for others. forgetting about yourself, getting out of your own way and just serving others. And all of a sudden we were picking up the pace and we were going for it. And we managed to like chip off about an hour than we would have done. We were like dropping like 2 or 3 minutes quicker per kilometer since we made that decision to do it for Andy. We were flying. So like that was like, and at that time, what I didn't say is I tore my meniscus. So my knee was already battered, but we just were able to go through it. Then the third day I had this beaten up knee, beaten up ankle, my ankle was swollen, taping my feet up, and it was the fire element. We went to the New Forest and we were running past these incredible wild horses. It was wow. It was incredible. And for that, we did a little bit more than 50K just to show the internal flame and the willpower and ability to keep going. And then the last day was the earth element. We actually ran back into London. We had people drumming us in, celebration, ceremony, it was just nice to bring everyone together. And the message of that day was I couldn't stand up on the day. Like I kept falling back. Every time I stood up, I kept falling back down on my knee. And I was thinking, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how. And like, I remember Jamie, like my friend who was doing the videography, looking at me. It was kind of looked at me in a way like, shit, like you don't look good to be able to run. Like, how are you going to run? You're not even walking very well. And I was like, let me see if I can walk first. Let me just walk. And I didn't have any tape left. So I couldn't tape up my knee. I couldn't tape up my ankle. I was like, look, we're in now. We're here. And I was thinking about everyone else and trying to move forward. And I was struggling. I was in so much discomfort at the beginning. And the thing that kept coming through to me was like elephant power, right? Yeah. Remove of obstacles, elephant power, remove the obstacles, elephant power, remove the obstacles. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you get it straight away. And I was thinking one foot in front of the other. And I was in so much discomfort, but I started to reach this point where and it was so painful at the first 10K that I then reached this point where everything was better from that point. And I was entering kind of the space between it. I was checking in and out, and I become less and less of me. And it was so humbling and to let go of certain attachments and certain things that I had going on, to see the strength and to see how strong it is when you set something, when you set a bullseye, when you invoke it, when if you're sincere. And it was tested how sincere I was, not my physical ability, my sincerity, like how important it was. And it was important to get it done, so it got done. And the way he presented the way with that, and you see, then I started seeing the love of others and support of others and people around, and it was just beautiful. And there was moments when I was in a dark place, and there was a big thing that me and Michael would say, and I would say to Michael, how'd you get out of hell? I said, you start enjoying yourself because they don't like you having fun down here, right? So like, you start to realize it's a state. You go in this depth and you get booted out of hell. That's how you get booted out, right? You get kicked out. Start enjoying yourself. It don't work out down there, right? They don't like it. They're not a big fan of that, right? You get kicked out. And that was the big message coming through. And we also did it. We did it in service with elements. We did it to show that nature's strong, it's a force, it's powerful, the interconnectedness between us and nature. And that was really what it's about. And I felt I took so much from it and into my life. And it was, the whole slogan was about igniting change through challenge. And that was the purpose of it. And it was a wonderful experience. And I'm blessed to have had that experience. But there is a fifth element. There is a fifth element coming, which is the ether. And it's something that I may do maybe more in private, or I may do it as a more of a open prayer to just plant that seed, which is more about sitting in stillness, complete stillness, rather than being so active and go, showing the balance to do the absolute opposite. So the amount, maybe something like the amount of time we spent running, I'm going to sit in absolute stillness without movement, with no food, no water, and just with the space. Something like that, maybe. We'll see. But to show the importance of both, that it's not just about go, or forcing. And we also want to show that through the run. It was about showing that You can do challenging things, but you don't have to do it from a place of force or fight. You can do it from a place of love. And there's no more powerful force than love itself. There's nothing more powerful than love. And that's something that I would like to represent. And I'd like to take on some more challenges to show that the power of love. And really, it's there. It's there. You don't need to. It's there. And then it loves you regardless. But when you can do it for that, it's like, wow, that's what really opened me up. It cracked me open. Cracked me open in so many ways and exposed parts of myself that I'm very grateful to have had the experience, to be honest. And people do other kind of challenges, but for me, it's just where the intention behind it was just as important as the challenge in itself. It was the intention that was there that led to such a beautiful journey from that experience.
Man, that's so powerful. Like, as you're talking, just that I just had continual goosebumps after goosebumps coming up. Just like, that's like, wow. And when you were talking earlier about not running towards something or running away from something, just being in your heart, I just had this image of you running down a trail, seeing your heart and seeing like the electrical field it was creating around you. Because like, you do have such a big heart, my friend. I've always thought this about you. And, you know, it's so interesting, this story and everything you guys went through. I think I clocked every single stage of the hero's journey was in those 4 days. It's not, you know, the fifth one's yet to go, but yeah, every single stage of the hero's journey was in that. You know, that was like, and you know, you really faced the dragon at the end as well. Like, whoa, that innermost cave of just like, right, my legs don't really work here. I might need to stop. And that's like a very real thing because, you know, if there's physical damage, it's you know, there's comes a point whereby you can't really go on. But it's just like, nah, you know what? I've got a reason bigger than me to do this.
And yes,
that was also what propelled you through the water day, you know? Having a reason bigger than yourself to propel you forward, and that's like love for others, love for humanity, love for what you're doing, love for, you know, what you're creating when you're doing something like that is freaking incredible. Like, man, dude, when this podcast ends, I'm gonna go for a run, man. I'm so inspired by
it. Let's go.
Yeah, man, 100%. Yeah, it's great. Like, it's like, you know, what you're doing by, you know, by you being you and you going on this like epic challenge and putting yourself to the test, not knowing whether you're going to come out of it victorious or not. You know, you said that you didn't have a great deal of running experience, you know, to run 4 marathons in a row, that's 100 miles plus with just four months training. That is not that's a tall order. That is a tall order. And to have gone into that, with the mindset you had and got to that point whereby it would have been easy to stop. It would have been easy to stop, right? Or maybe not so easy to stop because of everything that you're made of, you know, like you are made of some real strong moral fiber, but you know, there was everything screaming for you to stop, but still you went on and you finished the challenge. And, you know, that is going to be such an inspiration to everyone that knows you. You know, it's just like, I commend you, mate. I'm like, I'm pumped, man. This is like, yeah, 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 man. Like, good job.
I appreciate that. But it's what you're saying. If it was just the point, there's nothing to prove. Because I really was at that point where, I don't know, maybe a stubborn younger version of me might have wanted to keep going at that point, but there was no stubbornness. I didn't have that kind of grit in that sense. I was like, I don't care about going back and saying I wasn't able to do it. But to me, I don't see it as a failure in that way. It was more about, it was bigger than me. I did it with a purpose bigger than me. And that is what fuels me to keep going. It's the same with training. That's what wakes me up in the morning, is that, because I've realized life isn't about me. It's not about what I want or what I don't want. It's about what's best and what can I give. And it's not about doing something for myself or doing something for others. It's doing it because it needs to be done and it's the best thing to do. Right? It's like, in my eyes, and this isn't me saying I do this or master this in any way, because I certainly haven't. But in my eyes, virtue doesn't know itself. doing something because you think it's good to do isn't virtuous. It's better than, it's nice and it's lovely and it's a sweet thing to do, but it's not a virtuous thing to do. A virtuous thing to do is you do it by accident. You do it because it's who you are. You offer something, or you smiled at that stranger, or you, whatever that was, you interacted with that person, or like you, which I saw, and I won't say any details because it's private, like you were on a call to someone, supporting someone going through a challenge just before we started, someone going through a tough time. And I saw the way in which you did that, and the way you were supporting that person was an accident. And what I mean by an accident is, and you're doing it by accident, doing it because it's who you are. You're not doing it because you didn't do it on the phone to look a certain way to me. You even apologized to me for it and tried to pretend you wasn't, whatever it was. Like, it's a beautiful thing you were doing, that you served that individual and you probably wasn't even aware of the service you were giving. Now, that to me is virtuous. That's what virtue is. And that's how I kind of look at it. And that is the greatest inspiration. And when you're in that, when you're in your heart, when you're in inspiration, these things happen, and they happen by accident. And what I mean by accident, it's not like an accident in that sense. It's a magic. And that magic is sometimes in the mundane. In fact, it's often there, because there is no such thing as the mundane. It's all magic when you see it that way, when you live from your heart. You're no longer analyzing and trying to figure it out and working out from the head. When you're living it and you're breathing it and you're moving in it and with it, then it's magic. Every part of it is magic. And you are able to do these things that you don't even realize you're able to do. And when you're not able to do these things, you're okay with it, because you realize you're enough without doing it anyway. But you don't need to do something to be enough. You don't need to do something to be more. You've got nothing to prove. You've got nothing to prove to anyone, right? You realize you're enough and you're okay. And when you aren't able to do that, it's interesting. What an experience, because isn't that it? Isn't why we got this physical body to experience? So you can have these experiences while being in alignment with the way. And I don't look at life as right or wrong, good or bad, or anything like that. I look at it as you're either with the way or you're not with the way, and both are okay, but it's much better to be with the way. It's much better. It's much better to be with the way. And the way will show you the way. And the way always knows the way.
You beautiful, badass human being. Emphasis on being. That was like, dude, man. Yeah, I'm freaking inspired, my man. I'm inspired. Like, yeah, that's so beautiful. I'm gonna start moving towards the end, because I know you got to go. But like everything about that sharing is, I'm gonna be listening back to this afterwards, because like, you know, there's so much in everything you just shared. Like, thank you, brother, and thank you. You know, like. You are, it's like I shared before the call, like you I've always thought you carry a certain vibration, and I kind of like see this as like a like angel archetype. You're so like pure hearted in many ways, and in every way, you know, and like always the first to do things for others, and always thinking in that way. So minded in this way, like I've always been inspired by that signature vibration that you carry. So brother, like, you know, you're a shining light that is helping many people. So yeah, through your beautiful work. So yeah, dude, carry on, man, carry on. I've got my last question for you, and this is a question I ask everyone who comes on. So yeah, Phoenix Vision is dedicated to creating a transformative vision of health for its listeners. So what does transformation mean to you? And what would you like to transform in the future?
Oh, that's a lovely question. I like that question. Before I answer that question, thanks for what you were saying. But honestly, like, I appreciate the reflection. But ultimately, it's like, we all have our signs. We all have our stuff. We all have our challenges. We all have our stuff going on. And I'm certainly not perfect. But imperfectly perfect is what we all are, and that's beautiful, and that's beautiful in itself. So I appreciate it. I really do. So what is transformation, and what was the other thing you said? What does transformation mean to me, and what would I like to see transformed in the future? Was that it?
Yeah, you got it. Yeah.
Okay. Transformation to me is like alchemy. It's understanding that this subtlety, in the sense of Well, it's not always so subtle, actually. Sometimes it's much more in your face. But it's always alchemy. It's in the sense of that nothing, it's not like something just gets rid of and it dies. It transforms from one form to another form. So it's this, it's change and transform. It's neutral. People often see as transformation as one way or the other. Transformation is neutral. It's not positive or negative. It's your intention behind the transformation is what really matters. Change is always happening. Transformation is a happening. It's a dance that, whether you like it or not, is always happening. You can observe it all in nature. There's no getting away from it. You cannot avoid transformation. This is why stepping into it, as long as it's a true path and true for you, but transformational experiences or things that you can do are much, I would always recommend them, because what that does is it allows you to be with the way. It allows you to flow with the stream rather than against the stream. Because as I say, transformation is always happening. Right. So if you decide not to transform in some way, good luck. Life's going to transform you one way or another. You can even if you go across life doing nothing and sit in a room on my own, I'm going to go through a transformation. For example, my body now isn't the same as it was when I was 6 years of age. It's completely different. Right. And it will continue to transform and continue to change. So will the space, the day, the night, the light, whatever it is, there's going to be continued transformation. So to me, that's what transformation is. It's the happening of life. And we can be with that by putting ourselves into more opening, deeper experiences of transformation. Therefore, we can go into the depths of that and the core of that. Or we cannot, but either way, you're with it. So you might as well get good at it. You might as well get good at it to the best, or at least the best you can with it. What would I like to see transformed in the future? For me, I might be a broken record, but I am, because I'm passionate and I'll put it down. But I'd like the fitness industry, in a way, and the way we look at fitness and the way we look at health, I'd love to see that transform. And when I say I'd love to see it, I'm seeing it. It'll happen whether it's in the way that I would love for it to transform or not. It's not up to me. I'm not the gatekeeper of that. However, I would love to have an impact in that it transforms in a way that is more heart-centered, that is more mindful, that is more conscious, that is more accessible, more appealing, that is more integrative with other people's needs and wants and other things they want to explore in life. For example, someone might be an incredible painter and an artist, but the fact that you've got a body knows means that you need to move it in some way and look after it in a particular way, but may it interlink and support you with your art, or support you with learning about, I don't know, whether you're a scientist or a mathematician, or may it support you in consciousness where we bring more peace, more joy, more understanding, more depth, and more realness. Because sometimes there's like a fake positive activity that can be, people think of sometimes these things are like, oh, this airy. That's not it. If it lacks depth and it lacks simplicity and it lacks the realness that you can physically experience, then that's not it in my eyes. So I would love this more real, heart-centered, conscious experiences happening within the field of health in all kinds of ways, whether that's health in the sense of what you do with pain management, and supporting people move and transforming that pain and empowering people, or whether that's through health in the sense of challenging yourself to test your physical limits, whether that's just exercising, whether that's healthy relationships, whether that's healthy relationships with others, with finances, with building things. That's what I'd love to see, bringing more connection and bringing people closer to who they really are.
Amen, brother. Amen. Oh man, thank you so much.
Oosh, now you're gonna serenade us with a song, Jess. You're gonna serenade everyone with a song. If they've been blessed to hear you singing. Jess is singing, if anyone don't know, right? I remember Jess once on the guitar playing Shiva Shambo, and it just made me want to dance like a madman. Absolute madman. It made me want to dance. It was fantastic. I loved it.
Yeah, thank you, brother. I appreciate it. I don't have a song prepped right now, but I actually recorded a podcast two podcasts ago called the Expression of Good Vibration. And the first 45 minutes, I talk all about my journey with expression, because I used to be like really unexpressed and find it really difficult to express. And actually starting this podcast was a big instrumental part of me working on my expression. So I spent about 45 minutes talking about expression and how people can start to express more. And then the second 45 minutes, I played my first set.
I'm going to go listen to that then. Lovely. Everyone listening to this one, go back and listen to that one. Let's hear it.
You know, Compton Grace?
Yes. Lovely human beings.
So they ran a phenomenal event over in Southend called Good Vibrations. So like, if anyone sees that coming up this year, go, because it was amazing. And they invited me to play a set. So they recorded the set. So the podcast, the second half of the podcast, has got my set on it. So if you want to hear me singing, then yeah, go on that podcast.
Oh, amazing. I'm gonna check that out, certainly.
Yeah. Well, thanks, brother. So, mate, you need to bounce off, but just before you leave, how can people find out more about you, working with you, or working more into mindful fitness? Have you got any channels up, bud?
Yeah, email address is headturnerstraining@gmail.com. So just head, H-E-A-D, and then turners, T-U-R-N-E-R-S, training@gmail.com, or social media. I'm, for example, at Jordan Jack Turner, and that was my website. It's changing now, so I haven't got that yet. That'll be changing, but it was jordanjackturner.com, but it's changing now. So so I want to share more of this mindful fitness. The name and stuff will come out, and we share more about that in the time that it comes. But yeah, anyone, if they want to reach out for anything, it doesn't mean they have to reach out because they necessarily want to book a session, maybe have a question or something, whatever that is. If I can support in some way and it's in my capacity, I will do so.
Awesome. Well, mate, thank you so much for your time. This has been an awesome episode. Really enjoyed catching up. Like, really enjoy. I think, like, mate, if you're up for it, we should catch up in person sometime soon. Like,
definitely. I'd love to see you, mate. Let's definitely make sure we catch up soon. And great talking to you. And thanks for bringing your energy and like the whoosh. You always bring a whoosh. I feel like dancing now when I speak to you. It's like, well, let's just have a little dance and a little move about. I feel, you say you feel like going for a run. I feel like having a dance.
Oh, mate, yeah, thank you.
No one wants to see my dancing, by the way. No rhythm or no movement, but I do it anyway because I love it.
Yes, mate. Oh, mate, legend, yeah. And thank you for everything you bring, man. I am pumped and inspired. I'm gonna do a different action now to what I was gonna do earlier, and that's because of you, my brother, and this conversation. And thank you for everything you bring to everyone you know. You're a very, very special person. And happy birthday as well. You're an Aquarius, right?
It's coming up. Yeah, it's coming up. Well, we'll not worry about that. Don't worry. The ego loves a birthday. I'm not so bothered.
All right. Brother, thank you once again. Much love.
Love you,
see you soon.